thing as a quick message in the house of God. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to be mostly in Deuteronomy tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to talk tonight about the fear and the fear of the Lord. And there's three types of fear of the Lord that we see today. I'm going to describe some scriptures that will show us the points. And I want you to think about it. If I came to you and I said, please tell me what fear is. Some of you might say, I'm afraid of spiders. Anybody in here afraid of spiders? I used to be till they used to jump up 3 foot on your belly and do you that big around in Afghanistan. So I'm not afraid of spiders no more. You know, how many afraid of snakes? I used to be till the deadly asps would come underneath your cot at night. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I used to go to Kibber Valley when I was 13 and rattlesnake hunt. And just to get the hides and the buttons to sell them as a kid, you know, get some soda money, you know, getting rattlesnakes. But you know what? If I ask you about fear, some of you say, well, the loss of a loved one, that's the biggest thing I fear. You know, you just had a loss of a young one. About 3 years ago, we had a young 12-year-old doing a TikTok video and hung herself. And boy, it impacted the whole community. And I know a 12-year-old passing away impacts not just the family, but the whole community. And so we think about different fears that are in our life. But there's a good fear to have. If you have a fear of a rattlesnake and you see it and you say, I'm going the other way, that's a good fear. Because rattlesnakes will leave you alone. Now, copperheads will just bite you just because you're there. But, you know, that there's some good fears and there's some bad fears. And, you know, and then there's different types of fears. I want you to look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to start with verse 1. And I want to talk about a good fear of the Lord. Said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land, whether you go to possess it. Look at verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that the days may be prolonged. Now, I want you to notice in verse 3, he's talking about here, therefore. And then he goes on and he says to hear these things again. And so I want you to understand, when we're looking at this, look back at verse 2. He said, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. Now, I'm an old person, I guess you would say. My mother, I used to go to my mother and I'd say, what does this word mean? And she goes, well, Daniel Webster's got the answer there in the den. Go find it. She would never give me a definition of my life. She wanted me to go look up in the dictionary, thinking I would remember that more. Sometimes it worked. But I want you to know, we're going to look in the dictionary, the Webster's dictionary. There is two distinct definitions of fear. The first distinct definition, it says reverence or awe, a profound, deep respect. Reverence or awe. Now I want you to look back at verse 2. What is this? It says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments. This is not being afraid that you're shaking afraid of God. This is saying, go back to verse 1. These are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord our God commanded to teach us. And so what we do when we look at the commandments and we look at what God has us to do, we go in reverence of Him to do what He asks us to do. That is that type of fear that the Bible is talking about. You know, that's a fear of saying, you know, I can say God's an awesome God. I don't like saying it because a new generation, they just want to preach God's an awesome God for 45 minutes and go home from church, you know. But I can say God's an awesome God. God's a wonderful God. God is all powerful. And I want to reverence Him and I want to obey Him, not because I fear what He's going to do against me. That's a different type of fear. But because I respect Him, I honor Him, and I'm in awe of Him. That's the fear of the Lord. Now, by the way, I want you to look in verse 2. This is just a caveat. He says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. We need to have the fear of the Lord, respecting God, that we will pass his commandments, his things unto our children and onto our grandchildren. But you know, we have a generation where people don't respect God. We have a generation that people won't even believe in God. Why is that? Because someone broke the chain of believing God is so powerful, he should be worshipped in a manner of following his commandments and his statutes and following everything he did and showing our children and our grandchildren. Somebody broke the chain. No one respects God anymore. I have a friend of mine. He's a pastor in Maine. He's a little argumentative sometimes, I think. But he put on his church sign when they passed the homosexuals can marry in Maine. He put on his church sign, God meant for Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. I have no problem with that conversation wording, but he put it on his church sign. People came and threw paint all over his church. Covered the sign with paint 3 times. Broke things at his church. You know why? Well, they hate God. They hate God. Well, why do they hate God? Because they weren't raised in the admonition of a all-powerful God. Why do they do that? They have no, they don't care about it. You know, and he'll put some things on his sign that I would never put on my sign because I want to win people to the Lord. He wants to stir them up, you know, but he stirs up the loss and it causes damage to his church all the time. You know, and I think, like I said, I don't mind having that conversation with someone. I do believe that, but I do believe I'll never win someone to the Lord if I open my conversation with that. You know, when we're looking at, it says we need to do this from our sons to our sons' sons, all the days of thy life. That's our life. We need to honor God. If we're not honoring God in the employment we have, you know, we don't have liquor stores in Maine. You can walk into any gas station and they'll have 300 bottles of liquor for you to buy in the gas station. We have a severe alcohol problem in our community. But, you know, if I go out and I'm just going to put up signs, you know, I love your signs. Every time I drive up 52, I'm just saying, amen, amen. Somebody's got the boldness to proclaim how people can be saved in the community. Show them and tell them, amen, amen. I love your signs. Don't ever take them down. If you need money for them, let us know. I'll shoot a bear and sell it or something, you know. But the thing is, we need to have that reverence and awe while we're obeying God. Now, some people say, well, I need to have that to obey God. I probably would agree with that statement. But if you're not in reverence and awe of God, you're not going to follow His commandments. And I'm talking about born-again people now. I'm not talking about the lost crowd. If you don't keep that reverence to Him, then it's just passé. And it's weakened. You weakened an awesome God. You know? And I like this. It says, all the days of our life. Man, we have no excuse. Go to your grave. You know? Go to your grave in a fear of the Lord. And then it says, and that thy days may be prolonged. How many want to live to 150? I ain't raising my hand. I don't think I'll make it to 100. I'm wondering if I'm going to make it to 70, but think about that. And you know, I said every, I have a good friend, and she's down in South Carolina, and she's up in years, and she'll call me, and I'll just tell Vicki, I said, I'll be on the phone for 3 hours, right? And she'll just call me, and we'll have fellowship. She's originally from Jackson, lives in South Carolina. And we'll have fellowship, and she'll say, Pastor Dave, she said, you know what? She said, I'm so glad God let me live another year to serve Him. She's serving Him for prolonged days. Now, I'm going to give you some other scriptures here. I want you to see in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4, just a couple of pages over. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4, and it says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. By the way, this isn't saying that we should walk after the Lord and be so terrified of Him all our lives. We need to be honoring God with our lives, with our statements, with the way that we live, the way that we act, the way that we react. You know, we need to honor God. And it's telling us there, once again, it's about reverence to God and not just obeying His commandments. We need to have reverence to Him and obey His commandments because He is our God Almighty. I don't want to follow the commandments. I've had people say, I don't like following the commandments. And I said, well, you don't love God. You don't love God. Oh, Brother Bowman, the Ten Commandments. I said, I ain't talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about the 14,000 other commandments that are in the Bible besides the Ten. And they look at me like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? God and Jesus gave us commandments constantly, not just the Ten. And by the way, we need to have the love for God to obey and follow and seek as we go. What a great example that one there is also. Even you don't have to turn there. Even in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, then had the churches rest throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and were multiplied. Walk in the fear of the Lord. I grew up a rambunctious young child over in Ararat, Virginia, in Clarksville, Virginia. My mother beat me probably, 10 times a week, and I deserved 110% of it. You know, my father only whipped me once, and I ran away from home, got all the way to Winston-Salem, and then I thought, where am I going to eat? Where am I going to sleep? And I had to turn around and hitchhike all the way back to Ararat, North Carolina. I mean, Ararat, Virginia. And so, but I want you to think about that. But in my mother, and I think about my parents, and I think about how my mother was a disciplinarian. Sometimes I feared my mother. I did. She had a little handle made out of wood that said, Mother's Helping Hand. And she wailed me on that till it broke, and I laughed at her. Don't laugh at people like that. And then she went and got a leather strop. Y'all understand that? That leather strop never broke, I promise you. But you know what? I probably could have had a fear of that. But I want to tell you, when I was a kid, I got in trouble. I did it. I got in trouble. And then they came and told my parents, and they said, there's no way David would do such a thing. And I had to tell my parents, I did. And that tore me down more than going in front of the judge and doing everything, because I didn't respect my parents enough for what I did. It reflected on them. I didn't have that fear, admiration of my parents that I should have had. And so I disappointed my parents. And I'm telling you, having to sit there and tell my mom and dad, I know you're defending me, but I did it. You can understand something like that really focuses in my life. And you can understand how God says, I want, this is the way I want you to walk every day. You know, we learned how to walk as babies. Unless you're Pastor Tim, he probably started running at 3 months old or something like that. You know, the way he runs around here all the time. Hey, I'm in Tennessee this week. I'm being in Norway. I'm being somewhere else. And I said, boy, that man just runs everywhere for the Lord, right? But think about that. When we started walking, did we want to crawl afterwards? No. I didn't like army crawling in the army. I just want to tell you that. But you know what? We have to have that walk in the love of God. Willing and wanting to please the Father who deserves all honor and praise. And so that we need to have that. The Scriptures tell that. Now I want to take you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 12. I'm going to talk about the second one. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is that of having a trembling fear. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll start in verse 12. I'll give you a background. It says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Boy, did they owe God. And it says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. That's acknowledgement, right? Look down at verse 15. We'll look at 14. It says, thou shalt go after, ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of people which are around you. By the way, people, they were doing it already, right? God's trying to show them something. Verse 15. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God. How many times have you told people? Among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from the face of the earth. I was preaching a message the other day and I was talking about how the people came out and they came out of Egypt and they murmured and murmured. They went into the wilderness up to the Red Sea and boy, they blamed Aaron. They blamed Aaron. Murmuring and murmuring. God provided the way. They went 3 days into Marah and the water was bitter and they murmured and murmured. They sent us here to die. There's no water. Oh, we were better being in captivity. Then they go a month and a half, month and 15 days, and they said, oh, we have no food left. We have no food left. Oh, the horror, horror. God said, I'll provide money. But then they kept sinning. And God said, your carcasses are going to be in this land before you leave this wilderness. Well, whose carcasses? All the ones, the adults that came across and were disobedient to God. They didn't fear that God would take their lives. But God came and said, your carcasses will fall here. They are not going on to the land that God provided for them. Now, I want when you look at that scripture, I want you to see, it says, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. We know that, right? Why would your husband be jealous? Or why would a wife be jealous? Because maybe they're not spending enough time with you. You know, he's always going out with pastor knocking on doors. He's never spending any time with me. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. You know, our God's a jealous God. He expects so much out of us. And we deserve to give him all that he is by command. So, and he tells us that. He says, thou shalt fear thy Lord God and serve him. And then he says, thou Lord God is the jealous God among you. And lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from the face of the earth. This is a fear, a trembling fear. I want to give you an example, and you probably think I'm insane. I don't play the lottery. I don't play the lottery. You want to know why? Because I have a trembling fear that if I win, I have to tell my God I gambled. You know, I've said that, and I've had people say, well, just give me your winnings, and you'll be okay. No. I have a fear of doing something that God says don't do. When you know it to do good and you do it not, it is sin. I have a trembling fear if I'm going about sinning, because I know you can't hide nothing from God. I know God will direct your path even into the wilderness. And I know God can take my life away from me if I'm not living a pleasing life to Him. I have a fear and trembling. If I'm out sinning, God's going to strike me down. I got saved in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Vietnam. Many of you know it very well. And my platoon sergeant in the Army, I got saved going to church. I found out his daughter was coming to church, and he was driving her to church. And he would sit out in the parking lot. And I hadn't seen him in years. He retired. And I went out there and I said, "Mike, I'm so glad you're here. Come on in the church." He said, "I know the way I live. If I step in your church, God's going to send a lightning bolt. I don't want your church burning down." And I'm telling you, he told me that numerous times. He said, "I know my life is so sinful." And I said, "You got it wrong. God doesn't want your sinful life. God wants to give you a sinless life. God wants to save you." But he truly trembled and would not enter the house of God under conviction of his sins. He had a great physical fear, even though he was living in sin. You know, and so when we look at these scriptures, you know, talking about that fear that's coming on, there is a physical fear out there. You know, I don't know if you're like me, if you ever, I hate this thing that people say, "I just fell into sin, Pastor." I said, "No, you leaped in it with 2 feet." You know, I grew up on the Dan River. I know about leaping in with 2 feet. I did it my whole life. And I say, don't tell me you just fell into sin, because you deliberately went into it. And if you're a child of God, God knows that you deliberately saying no to Him when He says, "Follow me." I believe you should have a terror of fear. Now, I want to tell you the last fear. Let me look at my clock here. I want you to tell the last fear. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, walk in his ways, and to love him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Verse 13, "Keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." You know, at the last one, we see that God rewards us for living in His fear. But I want to tell you, the last thing is the worst thing, when there's no fear. We're living in a day of age when there's no fear. What happens when you have no fear of God, whether you don't have respect for God, or whether you have no fear for God and you think it's a horrible, terrible fear? What happens when you don't fear for God? You're going to live how you want to live, do what you want to live, and you don't care who it hurts and who it goes against. I was a police officer, and all the years I was there, I processed over 1,000 DUIs. I don't know how many were accidents. Some were fatal. You know, I would pull someone over and he goes, "It's just a buzz." I said, "Yeah, but can I tell you how many dead people I've seen because somebody just had a buzz?" Yeah, no fear. Okay, I'm gonna admit to you, I got pulled over tonight come church. I wasn't speeding. We have a light on our car, which is legal in Maine. You can light up the sky so you can see the moose. But in Virginia, it's illegal to run those lights. They consider them off-road lights. So the deputy, we passed him, and I told Vic, I said, "He's turning around." I said, "I want speed. I'm not doing anything. I'm doing right." And he came around, he pulled us over, and he said, "I pulled you over because the light's on the front of your car." He said, in Virginia. I said, my car's not registered in Virginia. He said, it doesn't matter. I said, okay, do what you got to do. You know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And so he goes back, and he was back there a long, long time. And I told Vicki, I said, he doesn't know how to run my plates. Because you can't, like veteran plates, disabled plates, government plates, you have to put a prefix on it. And so he was back there, and I think it was like 10 minutes he was trying to run our plates. And finally he came back up, and he said, I had a problem running your plates. He'd come back down on file. He goes, I even called the dispatcher and said, what can I do? They said, we can't even run his plates. They said, approach with caution. You don't know who he is. And so, you know, he said, I'm going to give you a warning tonight. You know, he said, you can't have that in Virginia. And I said, okay, I appreciate that. And I said, do you know when you have specialty plates, on your registration, there's your plate number. To the left, it says classification. You have to put your classification in there. So he should have put VX and then our plate number. He didn't know that. Dispatch didn't know that. I guess you don't have too many government cars rolling around here. Or too many disabled people, you know. And so, I wasn't trying to tell him, hey, I know something you don't know. I was just trying to, you know, explain it to him. And he goes, I never knew that. They never taught me that. And so I'm thinking, he's taking so long to run our place. And, you know, if the law says if they hold you more than 15 minutes without giving you a ticket, they're detaining you. And, you know, they're in the wrong. And I'm thinking, I'm counting the time up. And so, but he came back and he told me, and I said, I'll tell you why. And I told him that. And then I asked him where he was from and started talking to him and stuff. And I said, you know what? If I was in the wrong, give me a ticket. You know, but guess what? God commands. I got pulled over for speeding a couple years ago. My daughters were with me. We're coming back from the county fair an hour and a half later. And it goes from a 35 zone to a 55 zone. Well, I sped up a little bit too fast to 55 and a 35. And our local deputy pulled me over. He walked up to the car. He couldn't run the plate. Walked up to the car, and he goes, oh, Pastor Bowman, it's you. And I was like, oh, I wish he was somebody else. But you know what? I didn't have a fear of God because I was speeding. Knowing to do right, not doing it, is sin. You know, people say, it's okay, that's all right, I'll pay that ticket. It ain't okay in God's eyes. And you say, well, you're going to the extreme. God expects us to go to the extreme to keep His commandments, His statutes. And the problem is, we're not keeping that fear of God as respect. And maybe we're not keeping that fear of God as God would punish us when we're going to do sin. And we're showing examples to our children and our children's children how to just don't worry about God. Don't worry about God. You know what happens when people don't have a fear of God whatsoever? They have no fear of damnation. They have no fear of eternal death. They have no fear that God is in charge and control of everything. They have no fear. I know we went to a place, if you say, hey, you know, in the Bible, Paul did this, and they'll say, who's Paul? People don't know the Bible where we're from. They don't know it. They've never had it. Maybe when they were 13, the Catholic Church drug them in there and said, boop, 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 now you're converted. Confirmed, now you're saved, go live your life however you want to live now. You know what? I see people every day that they have no fear of God. They don't respect God, no fear of it. They don't even acknowledge Him. By the way, our court systems are leaning that way. Our court systems are leaning that way. And generation after generation of somebody not having any fear either way with God has brought ones that are come and they're living for sin, and they don't care how they live. They don't care if they get caught. They just won't get caught the same way the second time. They have no fear of God. And they don't fear damnation. And they don't fear that they're going to die and go to hell and have an eternity. Why do they don't fear? Because they don't fear God. I had people say, oh, a loving God would never send anybody to hell. I said, we're all going to hell before God shares His greatest love with us. He wants us all saved. So we don't. Oh, a loving God wouldn't take a child out of a home. That's a hard thing, Pastor. I know you've dealt with it. You might be dealing with it now. Why would God take my children? I'll say this really fast. I met a couple here in Surrey County. And you might know them. They had two little girls. And they had a pond out the backside of their trailer. And one day, Mom turned and she didn't see them. And the little older girl, like four, led the two-year-old. And they went to the pond because Dad had taken them in the pond. And they both drowned. Both drowned. I met this young man. And he said, I had a widowmaker heart attack at 29. He said, I wasn't feeling good. And this is after they lost their children. He said, I wasn't feeling good. And my wife threw me in the car and took me to Baptist Hospital. And while I was in the ER, I had a massive widowmaker heart attack. And they saved him. And the doctor said, if you were in the parking lot and had it, you wouldn't have made it in the hospital. This man and his wife go about praising God every day that they have. Lifting up. They said, we know God took our children, but we know they were protected. And God is so good. God gave us grace through that. You know, and he goes, I should have been dead. Massive, massive heart attack. He was sitting in the ER room when he had it. And he said, it's only God telling me I want you to live for me a little bit longer. You know why? Because they have a fear of the Lord. They want to go about telling everybody about the Lord. You know, you might have people in your family that have rejected Christ. That's the worst thing anybody could ever do. You might have somebody that's rejected Christ. You might have somebody that'll just cuss out God and use His name profanely all the time. And I promise you, unless they're saved, they are heading for an eternal hell. But the problem is, they don't acknowledge God. They don't have a fear of God as far as terror or fear. And they don't have a fear of God to obey Him when He tells us the commandments how to live. Aren't you so glad that we have a God that shows us how to walk? Shows us how to talk? Shows us how to be faithful to Him even in our jobs when we don't like our bosses? Shows us how to go and live our day-to-day life? Because we want to just honor Him and we want to worship Him. We want to lift Him up on high as He should be. And we need to have that good, earnest fear of the Lord in seeing that who He is. But there's times we need to have that other fear of the Lord, fearing what God would do to us. And the worst part about it is, would our actions lead someone to say there's no God. And they live it. That there's no God. Pastor.